Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The In This League Podcast Network. In this ring. In this corner. Joe Pisapia. This corner, Tim Heaney. Gentlemen, let's go.
Hey, y'all. What's up, everybody? It's me, Joey B, Joe Pisapia, and welcome to In This Ring, the greatest wrestling podcast in the history of the universe. It's me, it's Tim Heaney, and it's you, and it's wrestling. And what's better than that? I don't know. Nothing. That's the answer. We're going to break down what the hell's going on in WWE right now, because if you're confused, that's okay. You have plenty of company. It's a brand split. Then it's a wild card. But then we kind of throw the
wild card, bitches.
And then the wild card gets thrown out. Then I don't know, all these other things. But we have other wrestling stuff to get to as well, including my review of the latest episode of Dark Side of the Ring about the Von Erich family, which was terrific. But Tim, confusing doesn't begin to start how I feel about WWE right now. I feel like we were at a really good place at WrestleMania. And even though the show's too long and even all this stuff, I felt like after that, I was like, okay, things are going in the right direction. And man, oh man, these last couple weeks, not so much.
You might as well just bring back Backlash just to really bring it home.
I mean, that's the only thing. Can Vince Russo come back and Backlash? Can he book? I want Vince Russo to book Backlash. That's the only thing we can do to kind of screw this up more. I'm at a loss. All right, so let's get to the news and then we'll bitch and moan about it. And I'm not one to bitch and moan. Because when we like things, we like things. When we don't, we don't. We are not the podcast that just wants to just rant and rave about what's wrong with WWE. Everything they do is crap. No, everything they do is not crap. But the last couple of weeks, everything they do is almost crap. It's getting to that point.
It's starting to smell a little bit.
It's starting to smell worse than what's inside the bridges of the Revival's shorts. So let's talk about a little New Japan, because you have some exciting news for us, Tim, about that.
Chris Jericho, one of the gods of Mount Rushmore of this show, I would think.
Probably. We do love our Y2J here.
The two matches he has coming up is just making me just really excited, and not like the way the Revival's shorts get excited. Kenny Omega at Double or Nothing. We knew that for a while. Going to be a great, you know, triple main event of Double or Nothing, which is coming up soon. Really, really sneaking up on us here. And then announcing June 9th at New Japan's Dominion Dontaku. I think it's Dontaku, excuse me. So they'll be fighting our boy Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP Championship as the Painmaker. Painmaker versus the Rainmaker.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I can't wait for that. By the way, Dontaku sounds like one of those places in Star Wars that somebody ends up in like the wrong coordinates. Oh no, where'd you end up? Oh, Dontaku.
Oh no. It's like,
It does.
It's like tentacle porn all over the place.
Oh, I don't know what that is, but that sounds awful.
It's a Japanese thing, so.
Yeah, well, sure.
trying not to talk about anything else, but
that is good news. So we're going to get Omega and Jericho again, which should be fun. I find it hard to believe that this one's going to live up to the first one personally. But who knows? Yeah. Maybe it will. I mean, oftentimes the sequel is not as good as the original. I think we know that. But I'm cautiously optimistic because they're going to have so much time to work it out and work out the spots and do everything that they have. I mean, what else are they doing right now, these two guys? I mean, nothing. Let's be honest. I mean, these guys are doing nothing.
Omega's just doing being the elite videos right now. So
right. I mean, it's not like they're working this, this house show schedule while all the guys are rolling around. No, I mean, this is their shot too. So here's the question too. If Double or Nothing is awesome, if it just blows everything out of the water and we're just like super excited about it, it's great. And of course, then it goes away and it leaves us wanting more. Is the mythology of AEW really going to start to creep in now to the psyche or at least the subconscious of WWE management? Because right now I feel like they're still very dismissive of it, and they should be. I'm a little dismissive of it.
I don't think Triple H is dismissive of it.
I think he's a little dismissive of it because, you know, you can't – I mean, WWE is moving to a real network. And they're going to, I mean, well, as much as Fox is a real network, but a real.
It's real. You can say
it's a real, you know what I mean? Fake news. No, but it's a real network. in sense of TV viewership and all that. And that's a huge thing. I mean, wrestling hasn't been on since, what, the NBC days back in the day on Saturday Night Main Event back in the old days. I mean, that's the last time they were on, and that was like one-offs in the summer when SNL wasn't around anymore. But this is like a big deal.
Right. It's not Fox Sports. It is Fox proper.
It's on Fox proper. It's Fox proper. Yeah. It's a big deal, and I think that's why WWE looks at them and goes, whatever. I'm not afraid of you. Like, you can go be on TNT or whatever it is, and everyone will like you for a year or two, and then you'll screw up booking like everybody else screws up booking, and then everybody will come to us, and we'll buy you out. And maybe we'll screw up that angle the way we screwed up the WCW invasion angle, but who knows? They'll like the worst five guys in AEW, and then, like, you know. God. But that would be great. I mean, that's going to – what's the over-under on that happening? 3.5 years? No, I'm serious.
It's close. I think
over or the under?
I'll go over. I think there's enough money behind AEW that it'll last a bit longer.
All right. I'll
I think it's a five-year window, and maybe four if they cut the cord.
Okay, what if I said 4.5? Would you take the over or the under on that one?
Probably under. I'm probably just about 4.
Yeah, I think I'd take the over. I think 3.5, I was being generous. So look, good news there. More exciting things. And are we watching Double or Nothing together, or are you still working on your schedule? What are you
still
doing?
Still working.
Look at you. Is that Memorial Day weekend or what?
It is. That's the tough part.
It's the Sunday or the Monday? Oh, the Saturday.
The Saturday. My nephew graduates from college.
Oh, that's right.
So that's a biggie. So,
well, here's the question. Why don't we just watch it on the Sunday?
We
could just watch it on the Sunday, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
You don't have to watch it live on Saturday. I mean, it'd be nice and all, but I mean, you know.
Depends on the beach day.
And I'm having a barbecue over at the house the next day with neighbors and some friends and stuff. So we're going to be grilling meats anyway.
Man, that sounds great. I got
to
see.
I don't know. We might have to work that out. Anyway, we got plenty of room. Everyone else who listens to the show, you're invited too. All right, let's talk about Velveteen Dream's national anthem. I mean, as much as like, the only saving grace in WWE right now, instantly for me, is everything going on NXT. That Undisputed Era stuff. Did you see that?
Oh, the video. Fantastic.
Roderick dropping the ball.
Yep.
Adam Cole just basically, if you haven't seen it, I don't want to ruin it for you. Just go find the thing and the post-reaction to the interview with all of them when they're all together, and he's got the promo about Roderick dropping the ball and stuff in the middle of his promo, and then everyone getting offended.
So good.
Classic. It's so terrific. But Velveteen Dream, the national anthem, Tim, just gold. I mean, the man's a gold mine.
I mean, my music ear just cringed, but I think that was the point. It was supposed to be so, so bad, and it worked.
Well, he's really taken this thing since he dressed up like the Statue of Liberty to heart. He's really going all in, and I'm excited because I'm gonna hopefully see him on May 19th. I told my kids, if we get Adam Cole, Gargano, Velveteen, two out of the three, I'm very excited because I have no idea when they travel who travels with them. I got to imagine you got to put some of the main guys in that show and show up. Otherwise, people get a little pissy, right?
You might have two teams going. Yeah.
I don't care if they're in tag. I don't care if it's like Undisputed Era and everyone's just like phoning it in. If they don't get to say Adam Cole, baby, it's going to be a sad night for them.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there. So
they need that.
We all need, I need that. I'll be honest.
That's how I start my mornings, really.
Yeah. I think that should be my new alarm. I'm just going to just wake up. Adam Cole, baby. All right, so Leo Rush is
boom.
Depending on who you talk to, Leo Rush does have heat. He doesn't have heat. His wife travels everywhere. What a terrible thing. I mean, whatever. Who cares about that? I mean, God forbid someone actually get along with their spouse. But I don't understand. A lot of people will say, well, he's got heat with Balor, and then Balor's like, no, I don't. I don't know. This seems kind of weird. And then he says that somebody who used to work for Ring of Honor, who works for WWE now, is spreading BS rumors about him. So I don't know. What do you make of this, Tim?
I think Leo Rush is a talented guy. I know the WWE politics backstage, you know, veteran routine type of thing is something I don't fully understand. I don't think I ever will, but I totally get why it's there in some degrees. In some degrees, I think it's a little extensive, like, you know, being forced to carry bags and stuff like that. But, you know, team building stuff with the rookies, getting involved, that you're showing a little bit of respect, I get that aspect. And if he's not doing something like that, I get why people are mad at him. I just think I'm not trusting most of what we're hearing at this point. And, you know, Leo Rush has, of course, come out against all of it. So it's just more chatter to get us talking about stuff. I like Leo Rush's future. I think there's some things maybe he could refine about his performance in the ring. But really talented guy. Hope he figures it out if there's anything.
He's a great seller in the ring. I mean, if you want to make somebody look like a monster and you put him in there with Leo Rush, I mean, he's just
right.
He's such a little guy and stuff. But you know, to me, this is just setting up what's going to happen next, which is the inevitable Bobby Lashley Goldberg feud leading up to Saudi Arabia in a couple of weeks. So when that does go down, when the Saudi show, whenever Goldberg shows up at the Bobby Lashley thing, I mean, they're basically going to feed Leo Rush to Goldberg, right? I mean, for breakfast. So,
oh God, it's going to be amazing.
That's where this is going. I would imagine if it doesn't, that's almost a disappointment at this time. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I mean, I'm also waiting for Sasha Banks to somehow, I was thinking today, I'm thinking, okay, Dana Brooke is in this match and everybody's like, which one does not belong? Which one's not like the others? So Sasha Banks goes full heel, gets rid of Dana Brooke, comes in, wins Money in the Bank. She becomes Miss Money in the Banks and then, you know, champion this year.
We called it last week, so I think it's happening.
Yeah, that's definitely the route. It's definitely going that way. So some things might be inevitable. And look, because we haven't heard, you know why? We haven't heard a damn thing about her. You know, it's been like a couple weeks now and not one, oh, she signed with AEW or whatever it is. No. So, well, why would you? Why would you leave millions of dollars? Unless you're the Revival, which we'll get to later. I keep teasing it. But as you said before, I would like to, we got to get Nate Bush back on the show to talk about how upset he is about this Revival burial, because I just want like a 2-minute video of Nate's facial expressions watching the Revival. I'll get a message him and ask him if he could just play it and just record his face like a Facebook Live. Just like, oh, it's so bad. It's just going out of control, but I digress. So anyway, let's get over to Raw. And well, you know, it's a brand split. It's finally settled down. We seem to have finally righted the ship. Nope. Because apparently Fox says we need more people going back and forth. And USA says we need more people and stars and we need your top stars on the top shows because the ratings are in the tank and all this stuff. So what's the compromise from Vince McMahon? The wild card. The wild card rule, where three people, I guess you pick their names out of the hat or you draw the marbles like in Survival or out of the bag, and then you get to go to whatever show. I don't know how it works. It's ridiculous. Round robin, rock, paper, scissor tournament. Something happens. And now Roman Reigns shows up on Raw, which – look, I understand business is business, but Tim, this pissed me off because it finally felt like Roman was fresh and brand new and the crowd was into it and then you brought him back to Raw and I feel like all the negativity just resurfaced for me. It's like some kind of like PTSD with Roman Reigns where I just go, no, not on Raw, just SmackDown. Everything's good there. Everything's working there. Why? This just it didn't piss me off that they're moving stars back and forth. It pissed me off that Roman Reigns moved for that night. It just made me mad.
It's not Roman's fault. I think it's just, like you said, the trigger to people. And
it is. It's not going to bring up bad thoughts. Yeah. And things were going so well. Oh, God.
I mean, like you said, the blue brand was fresh for him. And
it was fresh for us. It was fresh. Everybody was winning. And now no one's winning at all. Daniel Bryan's back, so that's a bit of a win.
That's a huge win, actually. But
so that's good.
Although a weird win we'll get to next. But
yeah. So it's like, and then he shows up there. And then I don't know. I mean...
And then Kofi.
The whole thing just was, it's not great. And I'm
it took a half hour to do all that crap too.
It did. It took a half hour to do all that crap too, in the words of Timini. And then I have this awful feeling that the next opponent for Seth Rollins is going to be Baron Corbin. Are you starting to get that feeling?
Yeah. They're setting it up because I pinned him.
I feel like that's the direction it's going here. And I don't know if I like it. I don't know if it's going to work for me. I don't know. How did this happen? Where do we go? How did Drew McIntyre get leapfrogged? I don't understand.
Unless they're really, really trying to slow play that, which I hope is the case, but
I don't think they can afford to do that. I don't think with October, unless you're going to unleash it in October.
Right.
That I can stomach. But if it's not like October 1st, whatever the date is, whether they're on October 19th or whatever it is that they have, it's that needs to be unleashed right like day one. But the problem is, like, well, where's Rollins at that point? Is he on SmackDown too? Is everyone moving back and forth? I mean, he's the Universal Championship, and doesn't the Universal Championship trump the WWE Championship? Because that's what we were kind of led to believe, correct?
Well, not for the last 4 years, but the actual time of its existence really hasn't been, but they're trying to tell us
that. The time of its existence hasn't been, but that's been the concept behind it.
Right.
There's a hierarchy, and the Universal Championship is the highest of the archy, so to speak.
The archy.
Look, I don't want to get all technical on everybody, but look, we can, you know, speak technically.
Seriously.
But that's
not, down a bit, Joe.
But here's the thing. It's like, we could all greatly accept, and I think at this point, be happy with the idea of the brand split going away. We understand business-wise, it makes sense. And I think from a perspective of can you give us the best 5 hours of wrestling programming possible? And that doesn't mean utilizing all the people that you have on the roster on that show and then on the other show. It just doesn't work like that. I would rather see carryover storylines and things like that. And you get The Miz released too and showing up right there and on every show, and Shane's on every show. It's just, it's confusing. It's muddy. And I think that's the worst thing. I'd rather you be bad storylines than muddy ones.
At least there's a clear direction to it, you mean. Okay.
Something. That's where I'm at. Well, and I hated Braun Strowman being the guy to stop Sami Zayn. I hate that. So
stupid.
That's the last guy. Like, that's not going to work. It's a stupid idea. And then Sami Zayn shows up where? On SmackDown the next night.
And wrestles for the WWE Championship.
But hold on a second. How many guys does that make? Because Miz was over there, right?
Yep.
Unless I was completely blackout drunk. Miz was there.
Miz was on SmackDown as well.
Right. Yeah. There's one thing. I was like SmackDown. Yeah. So there's your one wild card, right? Yeah. And then who was another wild card? You had the Usos. AJ Styles. So how's Sammy there? That's 4 people. So what happened to the rules of the 3 people? It's already out the window.
They had 7 on Raw from SmackDown. So it's fine because Elias and Shane counted. And then Lars, Vince said, it's 4 now. No, Vince, it's actually 7 now. So
arguably what would have been the best moment in SmackDown was in the little tiny box of Ali fighting Andrade. And unfortunately, instead of getting that match, I got commercials and the little box. The whole thing was laid out for the last 5 hours of programming was laid out terribly. You have guys coming in the ring waiting to fight, and then you're running the Make-A-Wish promo in between when you come back from commercial. Run that promo first before you run the guy. It was just so haphazard. Whoever's putting the show together the last 2 shows is just dreadful. Like, it's so weird. It's like, here's this tough wrestler and all these things. Then Make-A-Wish, and then let's bring out Baron Corbin. What? What the hell's going on? How do you transition from Make-A-Wish to, like, a heel coming out? So many feelings. I don't know. And then Bobby Roode's mustache. I don't know.
Robert Roode.
How do you think that's going?
Not great, Bob. the Ricochet thing was weird. Why would he put up the Money in the Bank spot because he lost to Bobby Roode? That makes no sense.
Well, it could have made sense because
after Shane thing or Vince thing, or it was just him that did it.
I don't know. I think it's supposed to be a Ricochet thing. But here's the thing: if he beats him, you have a promo cut right after. Backstage where Robert Roode says, I should be in this match, blah, blah, and I just prove it by beating him. And then Ricochet from the ring or somewhere else with a microphone goes, all right, you want it? Let's do it. You and me next week. And you build the hype for the match. Look at it. I just built it in less than 2 minutes. You have a 1 minute promo from Bobby Roode backstage. You have a 1 minute reply or a 30 second reply from Ricochet. And all of a sudden this week you have that to look forward to. And you're like, okay, cool. Wow. That's nice. Everything doesn't have to be a 3 month program.
They didn't do that though. I don't think. Did they?
No, they didn't. I'm saying you could have. I'm saying,
I know.
It just kind of came out of nowhere. It's like, here's all the people with Money in the Bank. I just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. Qualifying matches for Money in the Bank is great. I think those are underrated parts of the storylines.
100% underrated parts of the storyline. So I'm trying to find some things that were positive here. Lacey Evans continues to make me smile in every way. I find her very charming and entertaining. I like the whole she sent them all,
The invitations were great.
Invitations were great to come watch me beat up some jobber. So, that was terrific. I was all for that. So Lacey Evans, good. That's positive. Trying to find the other positives. It's kind of hard. Just find another positive there.
Unliking Raiders kept the name for another week. That's good.
They
didn't change it.
But here's what irritated me about that. And again, they beat the tag team champions in a non-championship. Well, why?
Well, that's to be expected. It's WWE Classic.
But why couldn't they? But why couldn't they have just done a singles match with it?
I would always do. I would always do that.
Because then you could have played it for 2 weeks.
Right.
And you could have built up to what? Oh, I don't know, Money in the Bank, where maybe you have them actually drop the belts to them, and you can stomach that. You have them beat them individually, and then you have them go one-on-one. And then, look, if you don't want to job them out 3 times, okay, that's fair. But are we trying to put these guys over or not? I mean, nobody believes that Ryder and Hawkins is something that everyone's going to get behind all of a sudden. It was a nice little feel-good moment.
There are better ways to elongate storylines like that, and that is not one of them. Pinning the champion that you're trying to face is terrible. It's a waste. Waste of a storyline development. It's pointless.
Okay, Brian and Kofi. That's a positive, right?
Oh, love that. Yeah.
Great. All right, so there's a positive for you. And I'll tell you the other positive as I'll continue. I'll die on this hill. Gosh, AJ Styles is so much better when he's a jerk.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, you know he meant to hit him. There's no question.
Oh yeah, but just like the tone of his voice, character-wise, it's so much better. Character-wise, it's just night and day. Boring face AJ Styles is just crap. It's no good. And as great of a wrestler as he is, it's not as interesting to watch. I don't think that's where he lives as a character. This is where he lives as a character. And it's been very good. It's one of the few things right now going that I'm really excited about. And unfortunately, it's going to end too soon, I feel.
Yeah, it's they almost did it too soon also. Which should have been a SummerSlam thing, but
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with like, hey, let's get AJ here. Let's go, you know, red hot and let's go. But the problem is it's just you're throwing all this other stuff in. It's one thing to have the brand split and then screw up the brand split and then move people back and forth after the brand split. And then you say, oh, you know what? Now everyone can move back and forth. It's like, oh my God, what are we doing here? And I know like it shouldn't matter all that much because it's a wrestling show. But it matters a little bit in terms of the quality of what you're trying to present. And I think that's where it gets to. It's not everybody bitching and moaning about wanting to hate everything. It's about wanting to like things, and you're not giving us an opportunity to settle into any sort of consistent vibe of how we could possibly take in the product. That's the problem.
There are elements of what they're doing that are good. They just don't put the pieces together. They go from point A to point D, but they don't do a B or C.
No, and simple things where they could have easily done the Rude and Ricochet thing, like right. I said, that was a layup. How easy would that have been, Tim, to have Rude right after go backstage and say, I just beat Ricochet. I should be in that match. Next week, I want to fight him for that spot if he's man enough to do it. And then, you know what? All of a sudden, we would have looked forward to that match, which was good anyway. Instead, they just threw something on there by the commentary. And we're like, what? It's for what? Why would that happen? It's just... It's so easy sometimes. I feel like they miss the layups. And the layups matter because the layups start to, you know, they all score points. You know?
Yeah, I think that Ricochet, you know, like I said, Money in the Bank qualifiers, it lets you pad these things for another week or two. And then you get that really initial rush. Like with 1 week left, you have the Money in the Bank guys. You're not just treading water and trying to do things in between when you already have everything set up. Take longer to get the pieces in place. That moves the story better.
All right. A couple of the things I did like, the Ali promo again outside. I like the filmed promo things. I really do. I think it's a good thing. Finn Balor did his little one in Ireland too. That's natural. Fine. Yeah, natural, good, simple. We got Matt Hardy now teamed with R-Truth, so I can only assume those guys are going to take on Lars together in a 2-on-1 match next week or something.
You know? Maybe Jeff being hurt will break Matt again. Hopefully.
I don't know. I don't think they want to go that route.
Well, but imagine the comedy with Truth and a broken Matt Hardy. That'd be insane.
I think it's desperately needed. It really is. And you know what else is desperately needed too? Ember Moon needs to match the visual and the athleticism to her character. Because I'm so sick of her sounding like a... Yeah, you know what? You said it and I think it's crept into my psyche and I've not been able to shake it. But she sounds like a Valley girl. She has no edge about her. But everything else visually and performance-wise has an edge. And it's just weird. It's just very incongruous. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Ever since she's never really talked that much in NXT. They made her into a normal person. Ember Moon's supposed to be this werewolf goddess type of thing.
Right.
Play up to that.
Yeah, it could be really cool. It could be edgy and different. And she has a real opportunity because I think there's a little bit of a void right now for some women single stars. And she could really rocket up that chain. And by the way, when the hell did Carmella go blonde again? Did I miss that last week? In a fit of rage?
I can't keep track.
Like, I'm trying to remember that, and I'm like, what? She's blonde again? How did that? What? Who? And then Corey Graves has no hair, so I guess they all got their hair did, you know, because he looks like he buzzed his hair, so I don't know.
And Roy said, like, three different changes, I think, the last month or so, which whatever.
Well, that doesn't bother me, because I'm used to it. I was like, okay, that's part of her thing, but, like, Carmella was, I don't know. By the way, which is more difficult for you, the Carmella's wacky eye or Shawn Michaels' wacky eye?
Oh, God.
Like, what's harder to follow?
What's harder to follow,
Shawn Michaels' wacky eye or WWE storylines?
Oh, God. I think WWE storylines are more crisscrossed, to be honest.
Sean, you're my hero. I love you. You know you're my favorite of all time. All time. I got the poster signed on my wall right here in the office. Shawn Michaels, all the Shawn Michaels. So, and got another promo from Aleister Black, too, which was, you know, it's like, okay.
He's talking.
And he's good at it. I just want him back in a feud. I just, like, what are we doing here? Like, I see a lot of Lars Sullivan. I want to see more Aleister Black. Please, for the love of God, more Aleister Black.
Aleister Black might be the guy to eventually stop Lars Sullivan and put him out of all our misery. So.
That would be tremendous. I certainly hope so. So look, that's, it's been a weird 48 hours for WWE programming, to say the least. And of course, let's talk about the tag team divisions, where now Daniel Bryan and Rowan are going to carry the mantle, which I'm fine with, because I think that Bryan's worked a tough schedule. If he had an injury, you want to kind of ease him around and take care of him a little bit. He had this magical run here. He can do another version of it here on the tag team side. It's great. Smart. That's good booking. I'm all for that.
Yeah, I would imagine that was because he wanted to take more breaks and all that stuff. I don't know if they're trying to have a second kid or anything, but yeah.
And but also plus, physically.
Health-wise, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah, physically too. Just whenever it's just, you're cutting down the ring time in half. It's just, it's a smart thing to do. And then you got the Usos coming in back over and doing that thing. But let's talk about the Usos and the Usy Hot. And I can't believe, I mean, Dawson, I feel like Dawson was like, all right, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it all out. I mean, he's flipping around and he's doing that weird thing that dogs do when they drag their butt around the carpet.
It reminded me of Michael selling to Hogan.
That's, you know what, it totally did. It's like, okay, you want us to do it? We're going to make it look so ridiculously bad. Yep. So are the, all right, this is a loaded question. Are the Revival winning this feud with WWE?
I think I'm respecting them taking it to them and doing their jobs, doing whatever they're being asked.
That's what I mean. Like, they're trying to marry them, but is it working?
No, I think the Revival will win eventually. They're too talented.
I feel like they're winning too. I really do. I feel like they're going to win. And it was weird because they came out to have a match with Gallows and Anderson, and the match never happened.
Of course not.
Oh, I mean, it's like, we can. How many guys can we bury in one moment? Where's No Way Jose?
Right. Can we get Tyler Breeze out here just for the hell of it?
Well, good for Tyler Breeze being back on NXT.
He needs it.
That's true. You know what? If I was in, that would be, I would look, put me back there. I'd rather, if I'm a WWE mid-carder, I would much rather be on NXT and working those shows and working that schedule and getting over with that crowd and then maybe get another shot without having to leave and go to the Indies to do it. Because I think that what Tyler Breeze is doing is super smart, or what they're doing with him, however it works. I'm super excited to see if he can trigger this into a good run here on the main roster next year.
I mean, I'm a Tyler Breeze fanboy, so
me too. My kids love him, and they're super excited about it. You know, and the Bray Wyatt promo, I guess, is the last thing to kind of talk about here. The Wyatt promos are still good. I kind of, the kid reactions at the end, very funny. So the dry,
they're just blank. I love that.
Which is funny. That was kind of indicative of how everybody felt watching the program the last two nights. Like, I felt like. And I just made that connection now, which is I feel kind of like the kids in the Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse. I'm like, what the hell am I watching? And my kids, I watch my kids watch the promo, and they laugh at the end like, this is funny. So it's connecting with the little ones, which is really funny. Like, they're kind of getting the darkness of it, and they're getting the dry humor of it. So I think it's working. I think it's another one of the few positives happening right now. How they spin it into a feud, I don't know.
I can't wait till he takes it to the ring. Like, he has, like, moments of snapping, but moments of, oh, it's okay, wowie. And then he just, like, hits on him with a chair. It's going to be, like, a great back and forth.
I can't wait for the yowie wowie shirt. I'm not going to lie. Oh, God. All right.
No, I agree. I think this is a really good thing for Bray. I think a new light shows how diverse he can be. I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, it's going well. I don't like the fact that it's on the show twice, you know, back-to-back night, same one, but I get it. Whatever. It's fine. But two more things. I did finally see the John Moxley or whatever. What's his name? John Moxley, right?
Dean Moxley, John Ambrose.
Dean Moxley, Ambrose. Dean John Moxley. So I saw the promo, and the first thing I thought of, because you had said, did you see it yet when we recorded last time? Because I think it just came out that day or the day before. And I hadn't seen it, and then I went back and I watched it. And the first thing I hit was like, well, the production value of this is clearly WWE, right? Like, who's got the production team to put this kind of video together besides WWE?
AEW has money still, so now, I guess.
I don't see this. I don't see this being an AEW thing, do you?
I think there's a solid chance of it. I think it's like 60 WWE, 40 all Elite.
Okay, I'll go with that percentage. I'll go with that. 60-40, we'll see when it comes to fruition, if it comes to fruition. And last but not least, too, if you haven't seen it yet on Vice, there's that Dark Side of the Ring it's a documentary series. They're an hour long. They've been really good. They did one on the Montreal Screwjob, one on Macho Man and Elizabeth. They did one on Bruiser Brody, which was fantastic. So good. And then I watched the number four, which was the Von Erichs. Next week is Gino Hernandez. But the Von Erichs one, you know the story, you know the tragedies. But then to watch, like, kind of the deep dive on it, Tim, Man, they made me want to watch it. It was like a 2-hour documentary. I'm watching it at the gym, like on cardio machines and stuff. I've been watching it in snippets of the whole world-class championship wrestling thing. Mm-hmm. It's like a 2.5-hour, you know, kind of deep dive on all of that stuff. But it's amazing because what you get out of it was they were cutting edge. They were in syndication. They could have been what WWE became or WWF at the time. But yet, for whatever reason, and this would be my burning question to get somebody on the show from there. Why didn't, I don't know if it was the deaths that killed it or if the money or not wanting to infringe on other people's territories, but they were in a position, production value wise, viewership wise, they were doing 14 share ratings, which are unheard of, you know, on Saturday nights, doing all this crazy stuff and in huge syndication. They could have become WWF just based out of Texas, and it all just kind of fell apart. Obviously, with the deaths, probably a big factor. You lose your superstars or what you're building on. But man, Tim, I gotta say this was, I knew the stuff, but to see it in this way and to hear some of the stories was really, really incredible viewership.
Yeah, I have to catch up on a lot of those older videos. I know secondhand the history of the Von Erichs and you know, the Freebirds being there and all that stuff. It's very, very much was a legit competitor, like you said. And yeah, I still have to catch up on the entire series. I do have to go for
it. They're great. I mean, that is a fun night of binge watching. I can tell you right now, if they're on demand. I know on Comcast, I have Comcast, they're on demand. They're terrific. But you just, man, the takeaway too is it's such a short time. And what I did not know too is Fritz had lost a son before any of this when he was a kid. So when Kevin, who was always my favorite Von Erich, I always thought Kevin was the best performer. Some people would say David. Some people like Kerry because he was good looking and all that stuff. Kevin was always the guy for me that I thought was the best one by far.
I don't have that much of an opinion because it wasn't.
Yeah, really, this was a little before. Like I'm a couple years, I'm like 5 years older, so I remember a little bit of the Von Erichs, but I also, you know, gone back and I always thought Kevin was the one that to me was the star. Again, I know they thought David could be NWA champ and all that stuff, but what's fascinating to watch is you get to a point with them where you go in there, Tim, it's like the succession in which it all happens almost 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. And then when you hear the story of how when Kevin, who I always thought was the oldest brother, wasn't, there was another brother who, when he was like 4 years old or something, like touched the I don't know, they were like, you know, trailer park kind of thing or whatever, but I guess he touched something that was electric or something like that. And it basically electrocuted and killed him. And he died face down in the snow. And Kevin found him as like a 3-year-old looking for his 5-year-old older brother.
Oh, Jesus.
It's just horrible. And you're like, oh my God. And like, I didn't know that. I just always assumed that Kevin was the oldest brother. And then you hear that story. And then you hear, I mean, one after the other. And it's just, and it's the way and the clouds and then the suicides. And it's just, oh, and then you hear the whole story about Kerry wrestling without, you know, people don't realize he lost his foot. Yep. Kerry was wrestling in WWE with like a fake foot. You know, a lot of people don't realize. I mean, I'll tell you, you'd love it. If you see it, you got to call me or we got to talk about it on the show because it's one of those things like you see after and you go, oh my God, like what do you do?
I got to mentally prepare myself now, I guess. I mean,
you do. Like I was mentally prepared and it still wasn't enough, but it was a great watch. And the Bruiser Brody one too, a story that I've seen lots of YouTube interviews on, lots of shoot interviews on, but to see it broken down that precisely really put it in perspective where you know exactly what kind of shady stuff went on and what went down. And ironically, Bruiser Brody was the guy who found David Von Erich dead in the hotel room in Japan. Now, how about that?
That's creepy.
Yeah, because they were very close, and Brody was the one that, like, you know, and I don't want to ruin it for you, but if you're a wrestling fan or wrestling
story, I know the story a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so I knew it too. This was very enlightening, even if you know the story of just – wow, unbelievable stuff. Well,
I got a couple nights this weekend that I think I'm going to have to do that.
So hopefully, Tim, things will start going on the upswing next week because this was brutal. NXT is the only thing keeping me going right now. So let's hope that all this kind of settles a little bit and they figure out a better way to do things. Money in the Bank can't come soon enough because I actually think that card is super good. Like I think that's,
and the matches should be nice. So
it should be a really good card, which would be the irony, right? All the programming sucks and the pay-per-view is really good.
So that's kind of been a pattern in the recent couple of years. The cards have been nice, but then getting there has just really been a trial.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I guess, man. So
too much time, too much programming you have to do in between.
Yeah, you're right. It's they just needed someone to take the reins here, and Vince really needs to step away. You know, I think what this is proving too is I know he's got the reins on it right now, no pun intended, to try to drive it home for the fall because this is a huge transition. But I'm afraid that if Triple H isn't the one at the reins holding the creative ball in his hands, that it's not going to work on Fox. And if they just hand it over to him, I think it will. I really do. What he's done with NXT has been just outstanding. And I feel like he's got the best wrestling mind in the company right now, arguably. And he's the guy to take it over and make it work. That's what I think, Tim. What do you
think? Probably in the world, I would say. Although New Japan's booking is pretty stellar.
So. Well, I don't want to say, even in the company, there's some guys, but if he takes over, then you're going to get HBK along with him and all the other guys. Right. It's going to be that crew working stuff. And that crew working stuff, I got nothing but faith in. I really do.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
All right. So keep your fingers crossed things get better. Go watch Dark Side of the Ring. Enjoy yourself. You can follow us on Twitter at JoePizzaPia17, at Tim_Heaney. There might be rumor that the underscore is going away and he might become Top Hat altogether. I don't know. You can also check out all the great content at In This League as well and follow In This League Pod at Twitter. There's only one thing left to do, and that's remember, kids, to be the men, you got to beat the men. And we are the men. Woo! Ow!
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.